Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Thursday, October 10th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate to discuss a recent animal rescue effort in Florida. Today we're discussing the recent rescue of 160 dogs from a Florida shelter ahead of Hurricane Milton. Let's start with the basics. Eric, can you give us an overview of what happened?
Sure thing, Ted. So here's the scoop. 160 pooches got the VIP treatment and were whisked away from Medley Animal Services in Miami, Florida. This all went down just before Hurricane Milton was set to crash the party. But get this, it wasn't some big fancy operation. Nope, it was all hands on deck with volunteers and locals stepping up to the plate. Talk about community spirit, huh?
Absolutely, Eric. This is exactly what I'm talking about when I say grassroots organizing can move mountains. Or in this case, move 160 dogs. Can you imagine if these poor pups had been left behind? They could have been swimming for their lives or worse. This rescue effort is a shining example of people power at its finest.
Interesting. Kate, can you explain why this shelter in particular needed to be evacuated?
Of course, Ted. Picture this. Even on a regular rainy day, this place turns into a mini water park, and not the fun kind. The Medley shelter is notorious for flooding faster than you can say fetch. Now, throw a hurricane into the mix? We're talking potential disaster with a capital D. These pups would have been doggy paddling for their lives.
While I appreciate the colorful description, Kate, I think we need to consider the flip side of the coin here. Mass evacuations like this, while well-intentioned, can be
incredibly... Are you kidding me right now? Flip side? These volunteers are heroes, plain and simple. They didn't sit around debating risks. They took action.
If I could finish my point, Kate, I'm not saying the evacuation wasn't necessary. I'm simply pointing out that moving 160 animals in a short time frame comes with its own set of challenges. There's the stress on the animals, the potential for mix-ups, not to mention the logistical nightmare. It's not as simple as loading them up in a truck and driving away.
Let's talk about the logistics. Eric, how was this rescue effort organized?
Well, Ted, this wasn't just a spur-of-the-moment thing. The real MVPs here were a group called One Dog at a Time. This dream team, led by Stefania Bada, Jennifer Rodriguez, and Carolina Falquez, really pulled out all the stops. They turned social media into their secret weapon, rallying the troops and finding foster homes faster than you can say, "Who's a good boy?" It was like watching a well-oiled machine in action.
And boy, did that machine work wonders. Can you believe it? In just a matter of days, they managed to find temporary homes for all 160 dogs. It's mind-blowing. This just goes to show the incredible power of social media when it's used for good. And let's not forget the amazing community that stepped up. It's heartwarming to see people come together like this.
I agree it's impressive, Kate, but I can't help but wonder about the vetting process for these foster homes. In the rush to get the dogs out, were they able to...
Oh, come on, Eric.
Check?
You're missing the forest for the trees here. These were emergency placements. The immediate danger was the hurricane, not potential foster parents. Would you rather they left the dogs to drown?
That's not what I'm saying at all, Kate. Of course, the dogs needed to be evacuated, but we can't ignore the potential risks of placing animals in homes that haven't been properly vetted. It's about balancing immediate safety with long-term welfare.
Interesting points. Now, let's discuss the impact of this rescue. Kate, what do you think are the broader implications of this event?
Ted, this rescue is a game changer, plain and simple. It shows that when a community bands together, they can move mountains, or in this case, a whole shelter full of dogs. It's like a neon sign flashing, "Wake up!" to other shelters in disaster-prone areas. They need to get their act together and have solid emergency plans in place. This could be the start of a whole new approach to animal welfare in crisis situations.
I agree that emergency planning is crucial, but I think we're missing the forest for the trees here. We need to zoom out and look at the bigger picture. Why are there so many dogs in shelters in the first place? That's the million-dollar question we should be asking. We need to put our energy into promoting responsible pet ownership and ramping up spay, touch, and neuter programs. Otherwise, we're just putting a Band-Aid on a much larger wound.
While those are important issues, they're not exactly relevant right now, are they? These dogs needed immediate help, and they got
it. It's all connected, Kate.
That's what.
If we don't address these underlying issues, we'll keep facing these emergency situations. It's like treating the symptoms without curing the
disease. I get what you're saying, Eric, but right now we're talking about a specific event that saved 160 lives. Can't we just appreciate that for a moment without turning it into a lecture on pet ownership?
Let's put this event in historical context. Can you think of any similar rescue efforts in the past?
Absolutely, Ted. The granddaddy of all pet rescue operations has got to be Hurricane Katrina back in 2005. It was a real wake-up call for the nation. Thousands of pets were left high and dry when people had to bug out. The aftermath was like something out of a disaster movie, with massive rescue efforts trying to save as many animals as possible. It really opened our eyes to a problem we've been sweeping under the rug.
Exactly. And thank goodness it did, because it led to the Pets Act in 2006. For those who don't know, this little piece of legislation was a game changer. It basically told states, hey, you can't just think about the humans in your disaster plans. Pets matter too. And look at us now. This Florida rescue is living proof of how far we've come. We've gone from leaving pets behind to organizing full-scale evacuations. It's night and day.
While the Pets Act was undoubtedly a step in the right direction, I think it's important to keep things in perspective. It didn't magically solve all our problems overnight. Even today, we still see far
too many
animals.
But it's made a huge difference. You can't deny that, Eric. The fact that we're now seeing proactive rescues like this one in Florida shows how much attitudes have changed. It's like night and day compared to...
I'm not denying the progress, Kate. I'm simply saying we shouldn't rest on our laurels. Yes, we've come a long way, but there's still work to be done. Many animals still suffer during natural disasters, and not all areas have the resources or planning in place to handle these situations effectively.
Interesting comparison. Now, let's delve deeper into the Katrina situation. Eric, can you provide more details on what happened then?
Sure thing, Ted. Katrina was a real eye-opener. Let me tell you, we're talking about a staggering 250,000 pets left behind. Can you imagine? That's like leaving the entire population of a small city to fend for themselves. Many didn't make it, and those that did were often separated from their owners for months, sometimes years. It was heartbreaking stuff, but it did light a fire under everyone's behinds when it came to disaster preparedness for pets.
And thank goodness it did. That disaster led to a complete overhaul of how we handle pets in emergencies. Now, most evacuation shelters are pet-friendly. People are way more clued in about including their furry friends in their emergency plans. It's like we collectively woke up and realized, hey, pets are family too. The change has been phenomenal.
While it's true we've made progress, I think it's crucial to remember that we're not out of the woods yet. Many people still don't have adequate plans for their pets in emergencies.
But we've made huge strides. The Florida rescue is proof of that. We've gone from leaving pets behind to proactively evacuating them before the storm even hits. That's progress you can't ignore.
I'm not ignoring it, Kate. I'm simply saying we shouldn't pat ourselves on the back too hard. Yes, we've made progress, but there's still a long way to go. Many shelters in disaster-prone areas still lack adequate evacuation plans. We need to keep pushing for improvement, not rest on our laurels.
Looking to the future, how do you think this rescue effort might influence future disaster preparedness for animal shelters? Eric, what's your take?
Well, Ted, I think this rescue will definitely turn some heads and maybe serve as a blueprint for other shelters. But here's the thing. We've got to be realistic. Not every community has the resources or the volunteer army to pull off something this big. It's like expecting every local baseball team to play like the Yankees. Sure, it's a great goal, but it's not always feasible.
That's such a pessimistic view. This rescue shows what's possible when people come together. It will inspire other communities to step up and do the same.
It's not pessimism, it's realism. We need to focus on creating sustainable, long-term solutions, not just relying on last-minute heroics. It's great when it works, but what about
next time? But these last-minute heroics save lives. We should be encouraging more of this kind of community action, not dismissing it. Every life saved is a victory, Eric. And who knows? Maybe seeing this success will inspire other communities to be better prepared. It's about setting the bar high.
Interesting perspectives. Now let's consider potential negative outcomes. Kate, what could go wrong if this becomes the standard approach?
Honestly, Ted, I'm having a hard time seeing any major downsides here. Sure, the dogs might get a bit stressed during the move, but come on. A little stress is nothing compared to potentially drowning in a flood, right? It's like worrying about messing up your hair when you're running from a bear. Sometimes you've got to focus on the big picture.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, Kate, but there are several potential issues we can't ignore. First off, in the rush to place animals, foster homes might not be properly vetted. We could be jumping out of the frying pan and into the fire, so to speak. There's also the risk of animals getting lost in the shuffle or not being returned to the shelter. It's not just about getting them out. It's about ensuring their long-term safety and well-being.
Those are minor risks compared to the alternative of leaving them in a flooding shelter. We can't let perfect be the enemy of good. These volunteers saved lives, plain and simple.
It's not about perfection. It's about responsible planning. We should be focusing on building better, flood-resistant shelters and improving evacuation procedures. Relying on last-minute community efforts isn't a sustainable solution.
But while we're working on those long-term solutions, we can't just sit on our hands. These immediate actions are saving lives right now. It's not an either-or situation, Eric. We can work on both at the same time.
Both of you raise interesting points. Finally, how do you see this impacting public perception of animal shelters?
Oh, Ted, I think this is going to be a real game changer for how people view animal shelters. They're going to see these places as the superheroes they truly are. I mean, come on, they literally saved 160 dogs from a hurricane. That's the kind of feel-good story that gets people excited and involved. I bet we'll see a surge in volunteers and donations. People love to support a winner. And these shelters just hit a home run.
While I agree it could improve perception, I'm a bit concerned it might also create unrealistic expectations. It's like when a local restaurant goes viral, suddenly everyone expects Michelin star service. Not every shelter has the resources to pull off this kind of large-scale evacuation. We need to be careful not to set a standard that most shelters can't meet.
But it will encourage more people to volunteer and donate to shelters. This kind of positive story can make a real difference in community support. It's like free advertising for animal welfare.
That's possible, but we need to ensure that support is sustained, not just a temporary reaction to a feel-good story. It's great to get people excited, but what happens when the next big news story comes
along? You're such a downer, Eric. Can't you see the positive impact this could have? Even if it's temporary, it's still better than nothing. And who knows? Some of those temporary volunteers might stick around and become long-term supporters. We have to start somewhere.
Thank you both for your insights. It's clear this rescue effort has sparked important discussions about animal welfare and disaster preparedness. While there's still work to be done, it's encouraging to see communities coming together in times of crisis. This has been an enlightening conversation on Listen 2.